And whether you are new to the area visiting or you are a longtime resident, surely you have waited in line outside the cute little red house at the corner of Wisconsin and Broadway, anxiously anticipating the moment to get to choose your favorite treat from World's Best Donut. The iconic Grand Marais business has a long tradition of friendly service, family values, and of course, yummy, yummy donuts. Here to tell us all about this family-owned and operated business, the history, the stories, and maybe even some secrets and some funny stories, are second and third generation donut makers, Dee Brazell, Stacy Hawkins, and their mom, Sherry Linskoog. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
We are so glad that you are here today to tell us all about World's Best Donuts.
It is so much fun to be here. I'm Sherry. I'm second generation.
And I'm Dee. I'm third generation.
And I'm Stacy. I'm also third generation.
So I guess the story would have to start with the first generation.
Yes, the first generation was my mom. Her name tag, which she designed herself, said Old Number One. And she was very proud of that. And I remember one day somebody asked if we offered a senior discount. And mom said, when you're older than the baker, then maybe I'll consider it. So I don't think we have one today yet in honor of mom.
No.
Wonderful.
So the donut shop started about 1969 in the location where Dockside is now, and it lasted for, I think it was about 6 weeks.
They
didn't know you can't run a public food business if you don't have running water. So they carried water and carried water. And when the inspector came to inspect them, he said, what do you mean you don't have a sink? You don't have a bathroom? And that was the end of donuts there. They were the Grand Marais Donut Shop. So then they ended up, and mom was with your great aunt, Julie. She was with Irma, and they were doing this together. And then they ended up in the parking lot, now right across from Joins. It was the Bargain Barn then. Mm-hmm. And they ended up over there, and that's where they truly made their World's Best. Well, they didn't call them World's Best then. It was Grand Marais Donut Shop.
Well, you know, I remember when the donut shop was in the brick building.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, on the corner. I bet you guys, well, you guys must have been just little kids.
Well, Dee and I started working there when we were 10 and 12 years old.
Oh, my goodness. What do you remember from when you were 10 and 12 years old? Or even before then?
I remember Dee standing on a box so she could be taller than me when she was waiting on customers.
And the kitchen was in the way back, which seemed really far away from the front, running down the hallway to get your donuts. And right behind the front was a table that we would sit and color and read books in between customers. And can you imagine that today?
In between customers? Yeah. I bet there isn't any in-between customers.
And I remember it being so far back there to the kitchen. And now when I look at that parking lot, it couldn't have been that far back there.
But you were just a little girl.
I was just a little girl.
Yeah. Oh, my. And Stacy and Dee, you're the current owners.
Correct.
Wow. What about young family members now? Do you have any young family members that are coloring in between customers or anything?
Well, my granddaughter Ruby has her color crayons downstairs, and she likes to work in the office and work on the computer and color.
Oh, how nice.
Ruby and Max also like to wash tables, and they know about washing tables in the coffee room and picking up the trays and washing them in the kitchen.
Nice. That's great helpers. And how old are they?
Max is 2 and Ruby is 4.
Wow. You know, we were talking earlier this morning about the paper towels being at knee level. Would that have something to do with it?
When we added on the coffee room, my grandchildren were like that age. And mom said, here, we'll put the paper towel holder down here. And I said, really, mom? And she said, if the kids are going to learn to work in the donut shop, they got to be able to reach the paper towels. So they are knee-high in the coffee room. If you need paper towels, you reach down.
Oh, that's great. It's nice to have family there then. When did you move to your current location?
1977, I believe it was built.
Yeah, 77 or 78, and that's when I joined Mom. She had been running it, and Irma had decided she didn't want to stay with the donuts anymore, and so then I joined Mom, and that was just the first little part of the building. It was a walk-in front in a little kitchen. It was just, Mom was so happy with it. It was what she had wanted. She was hoping to make enough donuts to replace her $2 an hour minimum job. You know, that was her goal. And then,
boy, I guess she did, huh?
Yeah, it worked out well for her. Then it was about 5 years later, we added on the coffee room and space in the back to add an oven, a little more storage room. And then my sister Donnie joined us, and we always called her the oven man. She was in charge of making bread and rolls. You know, some days we made a half a dozen loaves of bread all at one time.
I didn't know you had bread.
Well, we've gotten too busy to keep it up now, but I think we used, I can't say their name now, but they used to run Nana Bijou years and years ago. We used her Amy Hussey's recipe for rye bread.
Oh, nice. So yeah. You added on the coffee room.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? Room.
And then we outgrew that again. And so we added on more storage room and a place to do glazing, because we had not had glazed donuts before. So we had the glazing set up there. And that was just seemed like, how could you ever fill all that space we had? You know, and it just continued to grow. And then when the girls took over, I had forgotten they took over in 2001. Mom and I went in midnights and worked making product. And then they came in the morning and made and sold and worked all day. And then the following year, Mom and I just said, you know, you guys, this can be your business. And they bought the business. And
we weren't really ready to.
Tell them what Grandma said.
Grandma said that you either buy the business or it's done.
Oh.
And she says, she's 78. She didn't want to do it anymore. Like, well. So Stacy and I kind of went, well, we don't want it to end, but we didn't want to work that hard. But we decided to try it for a year to see if we could work that hard. And now that was
2002 is when we...
When you guys officially were...
14 years ago, yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
I was just thinking about that last night, that Grandma worked it for 30 years, and we're halfway there.
So in the early days when your Grandma had the donut shop, she probably only had a couple varieties of donuts, I'm guessing.
Yeah, she had the plain sugared and cinnamon. She didn't like to do the powdered, I remember, because they were too messy.
Uh-huh.
And then she had the chocolate frosted, and I didn't remember the white frosted, but I've seen pictures of the white frosted. And that's what she had.
Yeah.
So how many do you have now, varieties of donuts?
Gosh, we have six kinds of cake donuts, and then we have Long Johns, Bismarcks, Skizzles.
What are Skizzles?
That's one of Grandma's specialties.
Yeah?
It's fry bread from
her mother.
Her mother,
my
yeah.
Grandma, when Mom was growing up and Grandma had made bread and it wasn't ready to eat, she would cut off a chunk of dough and stretch it out, put it in the old black frying pan and fry it. And that was the bread for supper, because the bread had not risen and was baked. So that was it. And Mom was telling me about it one day. And I said, why don't we try making that? Well, we ended up not bread dough. It's a sweet dough, like more like a roll dough. And it's deep fried. It's not pan fried. And Mom thinks it's much better than Grandma's. It's lighter and fluffier, but it has just been so much fun. And we still give Grandma credit for it, even though we changed it a little. One time we had a man that just loved our skizzles, and he had heard the black frying pan story, and he couldn't get here, and it was winter, and he went to the store, and he bought frozen bread dough, and he hacked off a chunk, and he stretched it out, and he fried it in his frying pan, and he said it was the worst thing he'd ever had. He never tried it again.
Well, it sounds like skizzles must be... The secret to your success, Stacy, is it the skizzles?
Well, it's certainly the skizzles, but mostly I think it's our customers and our employees. We have an awesome crew that 7 of them are returning this year, and we just could not do it without help.
Wow, that's really nice. You would have to have a good crew.
Yes.
And we're dedicated to start that early in the morning as well. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute, starting early in the morning. And I need to remind you that you're listening to North Shore Community Radio, broadcasting at 90.7 FM WTIP Grand Marais, 90.1 FM WGPO Grand Portage, 89.1 FM WKEK Gunflint Lake, and on the web at WTIP.org. You are listening to The Roadhouse with Dave and Julie, and we are joined by Grand Marais' very own first family of donuts, Stacy Hawkins, Dee Brazell, and their mother, Sherry Lynn Skoog. And we were just talking about your fabulous staff and your fabulous customers and all of that really makes a business work in Grand Marais. It's a busy, short season, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And what time do you open up in the morning?
Our front door is open at 6:30 in the morning.
What about that whiz-up window? I know that's Dave's favorite.
Well, the whiz-up window, we used to advertise it that we were open at 4:30.
Oh, my.
But we quit advertising it because we didn't expect to be busy there at 4:30. And so now you can go up to the window and ring the bell, but just don't tell anybody. Okay. If it's before 6:30.
So, what time do you get to work to start making donuts?
Anywhere between 2 and 3, and Fisherman's Picnic next week will be earlier.
Wow, 2 or 3. So,
One of us comes in at 2, another one comes in at 3, and then we have somebody come in at 3:30, and then at 4, and then 4:30, so every half hour.
So that first person who has to go in and, I don't know, start the ovens and all that good stuff,
yep.
So she's probably waking up when most people in Grand Marais are going to bed.
Yes, that's true.
All these questions that I have, and I'm wondering about your customers now. I know you have great customers.
We have wonderful customers, and it's so fun to see the customers that were coming back when Mom and Grandma were there.
Oh, I bet. I bet. You probably have some that remember when you were little girls.
Yeah. Actually, I gave a hug to an 89-year-old. We called him the Skizzle Priest.
Yeah.
He's been eating donuts skizzles mostly, but donuts for years, and he's been back for the first time in a few years, and he came in, and I was like, I knew who he was because I've been waiting on him since the beginning, and Grandma waited on him, and I said it was so much fun to have somebody eating donuts that I knew my grandma served.
And he felt like a celebrity.
Yes, he did.
We're so excited to see him every time we see him.
He's the one that did the frozen bread dough. I didn't know he was here.
Okay, so besides the Skizzle Priest, do you have any other celebrities that have visited your shop?
Well, Andrew Zimmern, but he was, you know.
Really? Yeah.
He came to the donut shop, but he was in Grand Marais all over. Because he says he comes to Grand Marais, I don't know how often, but he, you know, often enough that he's eaten donuts before. And I think he just sneaks in. He says he pulls his hat down and nobody recognizes him. And let's see, we've had the guy that's, no, the bass player from that song, 8765309.
Oh, Jenny.
He was there, yeah.
Yeah, cool. We got his picture. And Bad Company.
Really?
Yeah, they were playing up in Portage, and then they came in, and they all looked cool, and so I went in there, and I looked at them, and I said, are you Bad Company?
Cool.
And so I got their picture, too.
Oh, that's great. So is their picture up on the wall?
Yep.
And up on the wall, I remember that there's, or in the book, there's coffee mugs that people have taken their pictures. Tell us about that.
Oh, we've got lots of pictures all over the world, even under the sea, on the, what's that?
The Concord.
The Concord.
Wonderful.
So people take their picture and send it to us. And when Grandma started that was, they did not expect to get so many pictures.
We thought we'd have like a 4-foot square bulletin board when we ask people, oh, send us a picture of where you take your cup or where you wear your cap or whatever. So we thought we'd get a few. We are running out of space. You know, those pictures are covering the wall. We've put plexiglass on the table so we can put pictures underneath. Families come back looking for their table. Several years ago, a young woman was going around visiting colleges, and she took her donut shop cup with her and had like a series of 6 or 8 pictures, which we put on the table. Just happened to be in there last week. The parents came back looking, you know, is it still here? Yeah, we got these pictures. It was so much fun.
Wow.
And we're always amazed when people spend the time to send a picture.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, we just think that's wonderful.
Yeah. How about some funny stories? I know you both have funny stories to share with us.
Yes, but
you know, it's strange how little businesses do things to do it right and to be conservative. Dee has a story about the day the coffee grounds fell in the coffee. Well, nobody wants coffee with coffee grounds in it. So you have to strain that, right? You don't just throw it away because that's a waste.
You don't want a waste. And so Grandma and I are at the sink and we're putting a filter over the coffee pot. We're trying to re-drain it and we're going to get rid of all those coffee grounds. And so we were talking about how long this is taking. And, you know, is it just cheaper to just throw the thing away and start fresh? But no, we're going to do it. We're going to get this coffee cleaned out, and just as we just finished getting it all done, the coffee pot tipped and down the drain it all went.
So much for being conservative and saving time and money.
And then we always wonder what Mom and Grandma did with their time, because we seem to be a lot busier than they apparently were, because they took the time to decorate the buckets that we give away out the back door. You know, all those buckets, you can go get a 5-gallon bucket out the back door. We just pile them up. If you want a bucket, go back there any time of day and it's yours. Mom and Grandma would decorate them.
Not only did we wash them, we decorated them. It made you happy to get a donut shop bucket. You're lucky if the girls have had time to wash
it. No, you're not lucky. You're not going to get it washed, but you can lick it out because it's still good.
It's still good frosting in there. And other changes, when the girls were young, when they were learning to sell donuts, they had to learn to count change because our cash register was a tackle box. There was no punching in, adding up. You learned to add. You learned to make change. Just last week, they started a POS, point of sale system. And I think how far from that tackle box. Dee, tell how you learned to count change.
I learned to count change by counting dimes. I could count by tens. And so here I was, this little kid that I could count by tens. And then I knew that like 80 cents, 8 dimes was 3/4 and a nickel. But it would take me, I'd have to count from whatever, because donuts I remember being 10 cents a piece. So if they gave me a dollar, well, I didn't think that 90 cents was what I had to give back. I'd have to count back 10, 20, 30, all the way up to 90. And then I'd look and say, okay, now these can change into quarters. So you just think how long it took me underneath that counter, digging in the tackle box to give somebody their change.
Yeah, and if you didn't give them back,
I don't ever remember
3/4 a dime and a nickel, you'd be giving them 9 dimes and going to the bank for more dimes all day long.
I don't remember anybody ever telling me I gave them the wrong change, though.
Wow.
I think I did it right.
I bet to this day you can still count back change.
I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't need that point of sale system telling me how much to give back.
No. See, I know that in June it's National Donut Day, and you guys do something really big for that. Tell me about that.
I don't know if it's really big.
Well,
but
it is for Grand Marais. It's pretty cool.
We make donations to the Salvation Army because the Salvation Army ladies back in World War One women would make donuts for the troops. Yeah, for the troops. And so we've decided instead of giving away free donuts to people, we would honor them by making a donation to the Salvation Army. So we put a red kettle out, and then we match that donation that people give, and then we give it to our local Salvation Army.
Giving back to the community. That's great. And the other thing is that Fisherman's Picnic is right around the corner. And it's not a national holiday, but locally it's pretty darn big too. So is there anything special happening at the donut shop during Fisherman's Picnic?
We do donut bingo.
What's that?
On Friday, we have our bingo cards that say donut at the top, and then we try to play as many games as we can so you can win as many prizes, and your prize when you win is a donut. You get to choose a certificate of whichever kind of donut you want.
And by the end of the season, are you tired of donuts?
I wish. I'm still waiting to be tired of donuts.
What's your favorite donut, Dee?
Cinnamon sugar cake donut.
Yeah, Stacy?
I like a vanilla cream long john.
Mmm.
I like a 20-minute old plain donut.
Dave, do you have a favorite donut?
I like the variety of them all.
One of each?
Every week it's a different one.
Every week it's a different one. And I like the chocolate frosted one.
Yeah, the Spider-Man has been popular. Is that still on the menu?
Yeah, it is. It's very popular.
Yeah, the kids love it. How big of a factor is the like family, kids? You know, you talked about the paper towels being low. How many kids do you see on an average day?
Oh, I don't know. That would be kind of fun. We've said we kind of would love to have a counter, you know, a turnstile, so we can really count how many people are coming through that door.
Yeah, instead of how many donuts, how many people.
That's what I would like to know.
Uh-huh. And you also have, and I don't remember what it's called, but when you come in, you can get a number and you're a donut something.
A donut winner?
You're a registered donut eater first. You get a number with your registration.
It. Yeah, and then what happens?
You come back next year, and if you tell us your number and you're correct, you get a free donut.
And we do look it up.
Wow. lots of fun things going on at the donut shop. I bet it is a really fun place to work.
And then everybody yells in the kitchen, yay, donut winner, and we ring the bell.
Wow. So we know about counting back change and the tackle box. Any other memories that you want to share with our listeners? Or a funny story or anything?
Oh, we've got lots of funny stories. If I could only read the book without laughing so hard.
Wow. And is that book available for the public?
No.
You know, maybe you should publish that book and sell it at the donut shop.
When we retire, I think that's a good idea.
When you retire. All right. Well, we have been talking with the royal family of donuts, Grand Marais' own Sherry Linscoog, Dee Brazel, and Stacy Hawkins. And you can find them, well, third generation anyway, down at the donut shop just about every day from May until October.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. Early in the morning, and you like to sell out by mid-afternoon?
We try to sell out by 4 in the afternoon.
That's a full day. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming in and speaking with us on the Roadhouse.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You bet.